The second one is philia. That type of love that is expressed for what they can get from you. As long as he gets what he wants from you, he will continue to say, I love you, I love you, I love you. The day that they stop, he will turn to fight you. That's philia. Agape love is God's kind of love. God's kind of love. Hallelujah. And these three, amen. These three, all of them have their power. All of them have their power. But I'm looking at agape love. Amen. Agape love. God's kind of love. The Bible says, where we read in John 3:16, popular scripture we memorize every Christian. For God so loved the world. The love he had for the world, so much it produced something. What did it produce? It produced grace. What is grace? Grace is unmerited favor. Not that you deserve that grace, you deserve anything good from God. Yet there is something inside of him that causes him to love what is unlovable. And every Christian is supposed to have that type of love. If you're a true Christian, a love for sinners. It's true. That is the power of love. If not for love, if not for this kind of love with God, all of us will have perished and go to hell. He will have destroyed everybody and start another Adam and Eve in another garden. Is he not capable of doing it? Is God not capable of doing it? He will have just come one day and wipe the whole world and create himself another garden and start another Adam and Eve fresh. And this time around, he will not create serpents. So, but here is he. Will he allow all these his children to go to hell? Love constrained him. Love.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. There's a song that the woman used to sing. Mercy, mercy say no. Something about mercy. He would have gone astray, but mercy found her. Mercy say no. The mercy of God found you and me. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Power of love. Why? God's kind of love makes you forgive sinners. Amen. Every true Christian, if you have a genuine love of God, because after today, you should be praying for the love of God in your heart. Live a life of love, 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 love. God's kind of love, not eros, not even filial. In Christianity, it is agape love and nothing more. Agape love, nothing less. You forgive. God saw sinners and forgave them. You too, when anybody offends you, you should forgive. And see the benefit of it, the power of that. When God, hallelujah, so loved the world, his love projected grace. And because he released grace, now he has millions of children from the earth. He had only one, Jesus. Amen. But the love of God made him to sacrifice Jesus. Now he has millions of children on earth ready to package them home. The power of love. So it is with forgiveness. If you don't forgive, your sins too will not be forgiving you. That's what the Bible says. Am I correct? Am I correct? It's true now. If you don't forgive, your sins too will not be forgiving you. But if you forgive, if you live a life of forgiveness, no matter how rotten your life is, anytime you ask God to forgive you, he will forgive you. Why? Because you yourself don't hold anybody in your heart. The power of love. And it will take genuine love for you to see somebody misbehaving around you, and you can turn like Stephen spoke, like Jesus Christ spoke, forgive them, for they don't know what they are doing. How many people can look at a Christian brother, a Christian sister, slandering you, gossiping you, doing all sorts of mischief against you, and somebody is giving you all the evidence for you to turn and hate that person, and you can turn around and say, he doesn't mean to do that? That's what William Branham was teaching us. William Branham said, this is how we should relate to one another. He said, if you can think of only one good thing that person has ever done that you know, he said, stay focused in that good thing you know concerning that person. And don't mention any of the 1,001 things that you know that he does that is bad. He said, when you stay in that one thing that you know he does that is good, you begin to love him. You begin to love him. You begin to love him. You won't hate that person. For instance, these musicians, anytime I come to church, they're always offending me. Like today, I finished. None of them was around to play music for me. I'm supposed to vex. But when I remember, say they sabi sing well, well, I'll forgive them. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. They are very difficult to deal with. But when I want to also strike back at them, then I go remember, say, they serve single. And when they live here, they have a way of, there's one charm they use on me. They will still come and disturb me and collect transport money to go home. After they have offended me, they know I'm angry with them. When we close, they will line up there waiting. Say, daddy, I'm hungry. Whether to provoke me more, I don't know. Praise God. Praise the Lord. That's how it should be. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Because in Matthew chapter 7 verse 12, he said, as you would that men should do to you, he said, do ye likewise to them. It's important. If you want people to give to you, you must give. But see the power of love. Love will make you to see somebody that is in need and you have compassion for that person. Love will make you to continue to give. To continue to give. But because you demonstrate that action of love and you give, givers never lack. Oh, let me tell you, there are two types of giving. There are two types of giving. There's a type of giving you are given so that you will receive something in return. You know, it happens. It happens. Do you know that if we call offering, normal offering, you see somebody will bring 20 naira, dance, 20 naira to the offering box and drop, dance, go back. If a prophet, now, after flying, give a revelation, they see God, come down, bah, they bring somebody. Say, if you want to challenge God, come and sow. That person that brought 20 naira will now bring 1,000 naira. Now, that type of giving is a contractual giving. That is given by contract. Now, when you do that, you have no love of God in you. It's true. That type of giving is not Christian giving. Why do you wait until there is something you can get from someone? And you think you are fooling God? God is looking at the reason why you are giving only prophets. One of the poor brethren around you, you see them every day. You pass by them every day. You see them, you know them in your group. You know them. But you leave them here and you are concentrating somewhere else because you know, this man is anointed. If I give up, I know, say, it's either you take notice of me so that in case I have any problem, if I call her, you go, remember, say, let me buy another phone, where they use. Now, when you do that, you don't have the love of God in you. But the giving that is strong, brethren, and acceptable from above, It's the given that you see somebody in need and compassion moves you. Ha! I have 6 shirts. This one has, every time, now only this one they call, only this one they wear, only this one they wear. Then you go and pack, carry some and give. I'm not saying bring it the ones where you know they use again, no. I'm talking of the ones that you have not even started using. Because that is a gift with quality. That's quality gift. When you do that, he said, give, and it shall be given unto you. Luke chapter 6 verse 38. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men also give to your bosom. It's Bible. But you can never give unless you have the spirit of compassion, love inside of you. And when you display that, you never regret. You never regret it. When the sticker says, givers never lack. Not contractual giving. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. What a prayer warriors. It's not compassion you have. It's a display of love that will make you pick somebody's problem and begin to intercede for the person. What a patience. Is it not godly love that will make you to be patient with carnal people? And all of them have their benefits, brethren. God so loves you. Now, he corrects you. Now, you cannot live a worldly life. I remember very well. A sister here told me, said, Daddy, I don't believe you love me. I said, why not? I love you. But why do you say I don't love you? She said, because you have never called me one day and rebuked me. Ah. That's somebody that knows the meaning of love. I said, is that what you mean? Why you say I don't love you? He said, yes. I know that I've done so many bad things, and I know you have been noticing some bad things I'm doing. But you have never called me to rebuke me, to correct me. I felt so guilty that day. I felt so ashamed of myself. That's what love does. God does not care about cocaine pushers outside, ritual killers outside. But my Bible in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 6 tells me who God loves. He chastens. He chastens. Why? So that you don't go off. Love brings chastisement. That's why they say open rebuke is better than what? Secret love. It's the only one who loves you that can tell you the truth. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Another adage says love is corrective. It's true. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Power of love. In Proverbs chapter 25, that popular verse, verse 21 and verse 22, he said, if your enemy is hungry, he should do what? He should do what? Give him food. If he's thirsty, he should do what? Give him drink. If he's naked, clothe him. Hallelujah. He said, in so doing, what do you do? He said, you heap coals of fire, judgment upon his head. You see, your refusal to do eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth, see the result. God will be fighting your battle for you and you won't even know it. You're just displaying your Christian love. I know you hate me. I know you don't mean it. I'm not going to revenge. I'm still going to continue to love you. And while you are doing that, you don't know you are finishing the man. God will never let anybody go free who comes near anyone that displays Christian love. He brought a little child and told his disciples, he that will be greatest among you must be like one of these little children. And he added there, he said, woe to any man that will cause any of these children to stumble. He said, it would have been better It is better for a millstone to be tied on that person and thrown in the ocean, in the sea. Hallelujah. Than to face what is coming upon that person. Now, he was not talking that if you cause a little child in the children class there in your compound to stumble. What he's saying there is, when any of his children, Christians, decide to act like these little children, plain hearted, believing all things, accepting all things, moving with you like that, displaying Christian love, immediately you hurt him, he forgives you. And moves like mumu mumu, like the way children do. And then you capitalize on that, and you cause him to stumble. He said, what he will do to you, it will be better for you to drown in the sea than to face him, face what is coming ahead of you. There are Christians today that move, you know, displaying their Christian love in all innocence. 419 brother and sister in the church, we come close to that one. And before you know what, we hit a tower. Before that one, we recover. That's what he's saying. It's true. This day now, before you employ Christian brother in the church, you will still ask for shorty. Because sitting down in the church are 419. And people that will come, and 419 people right here, wolves in sheep clothing. That's what the Bible called them. Sitting down there, prophet, big message for you. Ah, I see you going abroad. Do you know this month, by so-so time, you'll be going abroad? He said, I never get visa. I say your visa is coming. I see it coming. Praise God. After service, a brother is coming to approach that person. I do visa for London. Because now you are saying, maybe that prophecy when they talk about that too. That did not come. Now you don't know it's 419. 419. Before you give anybody money for church here, make him do visa for you. Come and meet us all. We will interview him. He will show us his travel agency certificate. He will show us his office. He will show us which embassy he be agent of. Then we'll tell him to collect the money. And if you tell that person, let's go and meet the pastor, he will not come. Woe to anyone that will do that. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. And I'm telling you, let me just close on that. The power of love. There are so many things I can say there, but we have to close now. Even ministers, gifted brethren, intercessors. William Branham preached a message titled The 11th Commandment. Some of you have read it. The power of love. That's where he was saying the secret of the miracles that were taking place in his ministry. And he said it. He said, each time anybody comes to tell you his problem, her problem, he said, before your prayers can be effective, he said, you have to enter into the feeling of that person. When you enter into the feeling of that person, hallelujah, he said, at that estate, amen. You just imagine that you stay, amen. And then, I mean, the way I am now, then I see a woman coming, and he say, I'm now stayed for 15 years married, and no issue. Now, if it's me, the person is coming to meet, you know, I already know what the person is feeling. I will know. Well, in my own case, it will come from experience. But there is something God puts inside of you, that godly love, that makes you see somebody standing before you and crying. Before you know what, you go join the person they cry. Feeling what is feeling. At that estate, William Branham said it. I have proved it. I have confirmed it. The shortest prayer you pray in that instant, God answers. Love. Brotherly love. If you read 1 Corinthians chapter 13, you will see the power of love. That love is greater than any other gift you operate. Any other gift you receive from God, love is greater. That's why William Branham preached the message. He said, the first evidence, if you want to confirm whether you have the Holy Ghost, whether God dwells in you, he said, the first evidence, he said, watch it. If you can look at a man, a woman, you know that person has sworn to be your enemy. He has attempted several times. If he has opportunity, he will kill you. Yet, in that estate, something inside of you can still love that person. He said, then you cannot hit your chest and say, I have love. I have the Holy Ghost. I have God. I saw so many people who speak in tongues, who prophesy. The slightest excuse they know that you don't like them, they will fast for you to die. I know that. And they fall down, die, fall down, die, die by fire. God, bend the neck, scatter his waist. Hey, God, let's do it. That person does not have the Holy Ghost one bit. That's the test for you. And the Bible tells us that we should love. Don't just love in word and in tongue, but love in deed and in truth. We are to love indeed. Prove your love by your action. Prove your love by your action. I'm saying this because so many of us here, one key to solving our problem is just remove hatred. Remove unforgiveness. Ask God to fill you with love. Change your attitude towards those that you know hate you. Change your attitude towards your mother-in-law that's been disturbing you because you never get issue. Change your attitude towards people that you know vividly, clearly, they hate you. Then God can step in. So many of us, God has stepped out because of too much of hatred and carnality. And God will help us. God kind of love, not Valentine. Therefore, we remove anywhere you write Valentine, anywhere. Carry paint and paint it. On top, write Christ. Paint anywhere, anything. Anybody send you Valentine card, go and tear it. If you cannot tear, if it's too fine, paint it and write Christ. Blood of Jesus. Write it there. Let's clap our hands for Jesus Christ if you love him. Let's clap our hands for
Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus.
Oh. God's attributes were manifested to his pride in his last things. We have popped. Here
by this time tomorrow as we gather, you will come with testimony.
No matter the kind of spiritual dread mark that you are bearing upon your forehead, that we will stand it.
There is something again the Spirit of God is ministering to me. If you are here and today is your first time of coming to this place, I am telling you, anywhere you are sitting, rejoice.
But when you run to Jesus, He will clear the ways. And when He clears the ways, He will open those gates that the enemy has closed over you.
God will heal in Jesus' name. God will heal in Jesus' name. Ah, thank you, Lord Jesus.
I was here. A light jacket come upon me. I spring up on my seat. I told my brother first, I say, the jacket has come back to me now.
Jesus Christ is passing by now. And he's about to bless somebody here right now.
And the last day, the ego wants to restore you back.
This is what the Lord is ministering to me. I heard a name, and he has come.
Glory! Follow your own, no?
By his grace upon me, I, Pastor Moses Alu, promote you to the next level of life in the name of Jesus Christ.